Hey, it's Gina. You're listening to From the Ground Up Floral Podcast, a podcast for florists and creatives. Hey, welcome everybody. Today we are talking with a Mr. Ace Berry, AIFD, and he's going to tell us about how he got into his floral business and just a lot of things about life. His episode is going to be a two-part episode because we chat. So I hope you enjoy getting to know Mr. Ace. He's been an integral part of my floral journey, and he's just a great guy all around. So go look him up. I will share his links. Actually, I'll probably have to tell you about his links because I forgot to do that. I will add those to the very end, and you can definitely check out his Instagram, his Facebook page, and his floral shop. So stay tuned. Thanks.
Hi.
Hi. What you been up to?
I have been going crazy.
Yeah.
Homecoming, you know. Texas and their homecomings is the big old ribbon month.
And oh my gosh, do you guys do those?
Yes, we do. They're a labor of love.
I would imagine.
Well, the good part is that you can literally have like a Valentine's Day month because of them. If you're in like where my
they're not cheap either. Those are expensive little. Well, I guess they're not little.
Yeah, no, they're not little. Like, they range, like, think about it, it's like acetate ribbon, and they're literally like $150, $200 for like acetate ribbon that's stapled together.
Hey.
God, I love it.
Makes a dollar.
I love it.
Makes the dollar bills.
Yeah, I saw
on Facebook, I don't know if it was Facebook or something else, but there was one, I mean, like, it was like that big.
You should definitely start the fad in Seattle.
Oh, no, I don't think our little, they'd be like, what the hell is that?
Yeah, it's definitely, oh my God, it's nuts. So, but yeah, no, in that, going crazy, flower stuff, flower light. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
How are you?
Same. Busy. I had a day yesterday. It was just, everything was like 80% harder than it should have been. Yeah. I drove to the wrong venue to begin with. And then I figured it out when I was about a half hour down the road. I was like, I'm going the wrong direction.
I did that one.
Yeah.
I'm not even, like, probably within like the last 6 months, I drove to like this one that I thought it was. And then I literally got there, and there was, like, no cars, no anything. And I'm like, where's everybody at? And then I'm like, okay, where is this place, this Irene Stern Center? And looked up, and I was at the Merrill Center, and I was like, you know, whole bunch of profanities. It was great. Was
like,
oh, my
that's,
God.
That's what I was doing. I had to pull over because I was like, shit, I think I'm going to the wrong place. I'm like, something feels weird. Something's not right. And I look, I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to be going that way, and I'm going this way. So I figured it out, and I gave myself enough time, so it wasn't late, and it was just kind of a drop-off anyways, but yeah, that's how my day started. It didn't get better.
I feel you. I feel you. That's how mine is. But
yeah. Second wedding of the day, my husband made me a really cool iron, like a wrought iron archway, and but he was nice enough to take it all apart and you know, store it in the garage. So I take it with me, and I'm like, oh, it's fine, I'll figure it out. I panicked for about a half hour because I put it together wrong.
Oh my God.
14 or 15 pieces of, like, you know, like iron, you have to like screw it. Iron piping. And my hands hurt. I like can't even do this today because I was like freaking out, like trying to get it, but it worked out. I figured it out. I had to actually like look up a picture of the archway on Instagram that he had posted. and figure it out. But anyways. Yeah.
You know, just the life of a florist.
Right. Panic. The planner was like, panic. Do you help with anything? I'm like, no, we're good. Keep going, doing what you're doing.
Exactly. Never let them let never let them
It's fine. Yeah, you can't let on that you're panicking inside. All right. So let's formally start. Let's see. You got my questions?
I got some of them, but you know, I don't really like that.
Yeah. That's fine. I really don't know, to be honest, I don't know how you started. So let's start there. How did you get into this industry?
It's kind of a crazy, weird little story. So when I was like 19, I got hired by this really small town flower shop because I'm from South Texas. I'm actually not from, well, I'm from Houston, but when I was upper middle school, my mom and my stepdad moved me to South Texas. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where I kind of grew up. Was in South Texas, and I just needed a job, and I was 19, and my mom told me, hey, go apply at this flower shop, and it was actually one of the older flower shops in Victoria, and so they gave me a job as a 19-year-old kid to deliver flowers. Come to find out that, like, when you're a 19-year-old kid, you think a delivery van is like a race car, and that's what I thought it was, so yeah. As I'm delivering flowers, like, the original owner would let me stand by his desk all day long, and he'd be like, go get me this flower, and I had no clue what flower was what. I was just some dumb high school kid, you know. I never took a floor that, but I would just go get his flowers all day, and he would tell me stories about, like, when he was in World War II and all that, tell me all these crazy stories. So I was like, oh, this is cool, this is, you know, whatever's. And when he sold it to his son-in-law was like, oh, you actually have to start working. So I started delivering all the time. Well, I, like, destroyed all these flower arrangements. And, like, I would, like, horrible. I dropped one off at a bank, like, on a Saturday, and the lady was gone. And I just left it there. And, like I had no clue, like, about flowers. Right. One casket piece, and, like, when you set up a casket piece in the inside, like, I was, like, taking corners and doing it. Well, this thing is, like, blam, hit one side of the wall, demolished. And I pulled out my pocket knife in the back of Rosewood Funeral Home in Victoria, Texas, and made my first casket piece because I was scared to death I was going to get. And I, like, just shoved. I mean, like. Grabbed stuff and just shoved it in, and I was like just grouping everything, and, like, I didn't know about it, but it was whatever, like, kind of how my mind works. Yeah. I think it told me what to do, different things, and I went in there and laid it on the lady's on her casket, and I was just like, okay, well, if I get fired, I get fired, but at least I tried. And work, and, like, a week later the family came in and they were like, this is the most beautiful casket piece we've ever seen. And I was just like, holy shit, I'm getting fired today. Like, knew it, because, like, they were like, look at this picture, that, like, that's not what I designed. And I'm like, no, that's what it was. Like, I just lied. So anyways, all that happened, and it kind of, like, it really did give me a love for flowers. Mm-hmm. It made me, like, constantly look at people and go, man, it's really awesome when they're at their lowest and they see you and they smile, like they've lost someone. So it made me, like, really, really kind of just take notice of it. And I was like, I really kind of digged it. Well, being a 19-year-old kid and you have all these friends and you're in South Texas, they tell you, you can't do this for a living. You can't do this as a job. This is not what you do. This is not a career. You know, all of the negative things that people tell you.
Yeah.
And so I quit, and I ended up a lot of odd and end jobs. Like, I changed people's oil. I managed a sports retail store. I worked a year in a juvenile correction center. Then I kind of went into the oil field. I was there for 5 years, and I got laid off in 2007. and I didn't work for like about 3 to 6 months in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just met my wife, and I told myself, like, I got to find something recession proof. And I remember driving to her house, and I saw this thing that said Houston School of Floral Design. And it like instantly, like I clicked and I was like, I'm going to go do flowers. I was like, that made me always smile seeing people get flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So the lady was teaching class, and there's a bunch of little gray haired women in there. And like, I walked in at like 300 pounds, 6 foot tall, 300 pounds covered in tattoos. And
great.
Pulled it close to him and just glared at me. And I was just like, I'm just here to take the flower class. Just like, my step one was like completely like this huge monstrosity was built. And she pulled me aside. She goes, you need to go work for this lady. Like, you have something that's different. And so she called that lady, and the lady was actually from another small town, about 30 minutes from the town I was from. Mm-hmm. And she gave me, and so I worked for her for 5 years.
Nice.
And then I was very blessed, like, that someone took it on me. Like, that was like the real big thing, was like that I didn't know anything. Like, looking back, like, I made some ugly ass arrangements.
Oh my God, I look back at my stuff and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Like, you know, but then you're like, those people that took that chance on you or hired you or, you know, whatever, you're like, hey, we all got to start somewhere.
Yeah. And that's exactly, like, I look back now and I'm like, God, I owe her everything. Like, this is what I say is flowers. This is like my second, like, this is my love. Like, I will never do anything else. Like, when I tell people, like, when they ask me what I do, it's like, I'm a florist. And like, this is what I love. I live my dream every day. Like, even in my worst day in a flower shop, I go home smiling and freaking happy with my life. So it was good.
Yeah.
Like I said, blessed. So.
Yeah. Worst day in a flower shop, being in an office for sure.
Oh my God. For real. So like all of that, like I worked for her 5 years. It was just a big, like I said, I was very blessed. I was very like, a lot of times the right place at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And, I met Jim Johnson from A&M, and he kind of took me under his wing and was just like, you're going to be the best in the world one day. And I was just like, cool. You're saying it. What bridge do I jump off of? I'm down.
Let's like, do it.
Yeah. Like I was so just like all in 110%. And I still tell people to this day, I'm not the most talented designer. I just outwork a lot of people. I brought this like crazy mentality of like, oh, I'll work until 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't bother me to work. So that's what, I don't know. It paid off. It really did. It's still paying off. I think. So I don't know. I love it. It's a crazy story. When I tell people, like, I went from oil field to doing flowers, they're like, is there something else you need to tell us? And I'm like, no, I just do flowers.
That's just it.
No.
That's what I love.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. It is. Oh my God. I love it so much too. Like I don't know. Even when I go through the streets of places and I see things, and it's like the florist in me and the flowers and like different foliages, it's like, I just want to go and touch. Okay. I want to feel more. Like,
my husband makes fun of me because I pin things when we're driving.
I'm like
an oak tree over there. I need to pin that. He's like, what are you looking at? I'm like, it's a trees.
Yeah. I'll say, so funny story. When I first met Jerry Toe,
oh gosh,
he and I were talking.
He's here this weekend.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I love him. He was one of the people that I say that's like, I owe a lot to Jerry. Jerry, oh, yeah. Like, was
so smart.
Yes. Oh my God. But Jerry and I were talking. We were at this. So I did the Teleflora thing. I was unit president, and I met Jerry there. That's where I really met Jerry.
Yeah.
And so we were talking, and he was like asking me how I got in the industry. And I'm telling him, and I was like, yeah, it's like I sneak into people's yards and I take like aspidistra leaf or different foliages or pit or whatever.
We all
and
do
he
it.
Bust out his phone, yes, and he's like, look at this. This is like the degree level of this. And I was like, oh my God, that's what I do. The same thing. I'm like, am I going to get attacked by like a rabid dog? And am I going to have to be like really fast for a fat kid? And he was like, oh my God, it's so funny. So yeah, love it. Like, I love every minute of it. It just makes me happy. Mm-hmm. So good times, good times.
Speaking of California, is that where, so where did you, and when and why did you start educating? I know you do classes and you speak a lot at shows. So what brought that
for you? Okay, so the very first convention I went to was Texas State Floral Association. And the lady that hired me told me, hey, we're going to get you some more classes. Like, I took literally one flower class and that was it. And I was like, I'm going to do this. Like, my mind was made up that I was never going to do anything else. This is what I wanted. So I took a class from Bert Ford, a sympathy class. Mm-hmm. And instantly, like, I knew, like, when he was talking, I was like, this is what I want to do. Like, I want to see people, like, love something as much as I love it. And so I wrote down this list of 10 things that I wanted to do in 10 years. And to, this year is my 9th year. And everything on there was just like, I wanted to work in a back room with a designer and just like really do that. So it was like that. I wanted to do a stage program. I wanted to do a main stage program. I wanted to do another state program. It was like, then it's like, I wanted to win like this, like Houston Cup and then Texas Cup and then the Sylvia Cup. There was all these like little goals. So like, I think like the whole time when I was setting up all these goals to do this, I kind of in the back of my mind knew that I kind of wanted to teach people. So with all that being said, I started doing main stage programs for like my state and different little areas around my, like in Houston. And then I met patients at Teleflora too. And I was like, oh my God, this is floorgasmic. She was like, oh, that's a floorgasm. Hey. Anyways, that's how. Yeah. Are you wearing it? Oh my God, I love it. Team floorgasm. So she was really the one that took her like the first big leap, like leap of faith on me to bring me out of Texas to another state. Mm-hmm. She was like, she's the one that told me, she was like, your passion is what is like the amazing about you. And yeah. I was like, what do you mean? And she was like, people go through this every day. Like, they have these things where they don't feel like they're maybe as good as they should be. And she was just telling me that, like, you know how to talk to people. Like, you relate to them.
Yeah.
So I was just like, I kind of knew at that point. I was like, okay, I want people to know, like, this is an art form. This is, like, they're meant to do this. This is, like, it's not just by sheer luck that we like flowers. Mm-hmm. It's like, we're meant to be flowers. So I kind of knew at that point, like, I wanted to be in education. I wanted to like share my love for this crazy world with everyone that I meet. Like, it, that's what we're here for. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Jim Johnson and Jerry Toe and Patience and all these people that I've taken classes from, like, they were so giving of all this education, just like gave it to me for free. So it's not mine. Like, so I feel like, since they gave it to me, it's my job to like pass it on to someone else.
Oh yeah.
And like that's the whole thing. It's like, I can't take it with me when I die and it's not mine. Like, there's people like Hitomi out there that's have given it, just given it to you.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, they want you to be great. So
I love about the people that I meet too. It's teach everything, you know, it's not like, oh, I'm going to keep this little secret so that nobody gets it. But, you know, it's more of like an intern community where if somebody needs lifting up, you're there to help. And yeah. That's the best thing I found.
I think it's weird. Like when you do meet those people, like which luckily enough, I haven't come across a whole lot of them, but the ones that are like, oh no, I don't want to tell you. And I'm like, why? Like, you're just helping out the whole community. Like, it's better for all of us to know something awesome. So when you do need that hand, we can help you with it.
Well, yeah, not only that, there's no room to build off of it. I mean, we're going to figure it out. You know, it's not like we're not smart enough to figure out a technique or a mechanic, but sharing it makes it grow. You know, you can take that and do something else with it, or somebody else is going to put their own spin on it. And I think that's another fun part about our industry is we all have our own, you know, it's art. So there's always a unique way to do it.
Yeah, it is. It is such art. It's such an art form. That's what, I don't know, it's not just doing your standard spring mix every week. It's the little times that you get to like make something mm-hmm. and you're just like, when it fills you with that happiness, you're just like, I don't even know the words to tell you what it is, because it's just like, it's like my heart just kind of like melts, and just like, it's like that sheer in love moment. I'm just like, oh yes. Like I love it. And I love watching people's faces like brides.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the one thing that gets me like there every time, it's just like, yes, is watching a bride cry.
Right?
Oh my God.
If that, we're so mean.
Oh, I know. I freaking love it. Like I literally have to have that. Like when I'm giving her bouquet, if she is not in tears, I'm like, ugh. Like, I'm right. Like having like, a bad day. I know. But like, I'm so happy when she's like, and just tears. And I'm like, yes. Like, you know, you did it to that point. So I love it. Love it. Love
that's
it. Love
like, that's like, that's the best. I think that's what you strive for a wedding. You know, you're
Oh, I do. I completely like, and it's not even just, it's everyone, like moms, grandmas, like I do a lot of funerals now that I have the shop. So that's the same thing. It's like, I love it when they come in there and they're just like, you can see how emotionally like tore up they are, and they walk out of there and they're just like, there's at least somewhat of a smile and they're okay. And it's like, you're telling them, hey, I'm going to knock this out of the park for you. I'm going to do this. So yeah, I love it. I love watching that emotion come out of people. So.
Hey, just wanted to pop in for a quick word. If you like us on Facebook, be sure to share with your friends. We are over on Facebook at www.facebook.com/FromTheGroundUp Floral Podcast. So give us a hello, say hi. If you have anything you want to chat about, please feel free to comment. And also, if you like the podcast, be sure to leave us a review on iTunes or Google Play Music or wherever you found us. That does help the ratings go up and more people can find us and listen. So share the love. Thanks.
Next question. Let's see. So what are a few personal struggles that you have had or have heard of in the floral, as a floral designer?
Okay, so, this one's deep.
Right? We're going to dive into the deep end for a minute.
Because there's just like something that's like really like kind of to my heartstrings. It really... And it's been this way for a while. I struggle with a lot of things. Like I have a lot of insecurities. I know when I'm around people, I come off as very like confident, and I've heard cocky, confident, all these things, but like people don't really know. Like I have like this crazy insecurities that like only like my like very close people know about. But like my insecurities of like, I never thought I was good enough. Like good enough as a designer, like when I first started, even still to this day, like I constantly have to have like that approval. Hey, is this pretty? Is this not? And it kind of stems back from like a crazy stuff in my childhood and stuff. But like, even still to this day, like I have other insecurities that kind of fall into that. Like, you know, I kind of felt like unworthy of love for like a lot of my life. Mm-hmm. So it's really like one of those things, like it just with that, it kind of trickles into a lot of other things, and it kind of trickled into my design life where I never thought like I was really good enough to be in this industry. I didn't think I was good enough to be like an AIFD designer. I didn't think I was good enough to do any of those things, educate people even.
Yeah.
And you constantly have these people that are like so influential, like the Jerrys and like Patience, and you know, just people that like pull you together and like just give you hugs and tell you, hey, you're good enough. You're supposed to be here. You're doing what you're supposed to do. Like, there was times that I wanted to quit. I remember, like, I hate you right now.
Oh, he's...
You don't make me cry. Hold on. And I'm way too pretty for crap.
Me too, right? No, we're not going to cry.
Yeah. No. There was times that I wanted to quit because I thought I wasn't good enough. And I just had people that constantly told me, like, you're great. You're going to be great. You're going to just keep pushing. And it was just like this, like, something in me that I was like, you know what? Don't give up. Just keep going. Like, tomorrow will be better. That'll be better. And so I just kept pushing and, like, letting this almost arrogant side of myself come out and, like, take over. And it's like, I'm the greatest. I'm going to be the best. I'm going to do this. I'm going to, like, I have to.
Yeah.
So once I finally kind of got through it, it was just like, okay, everything's good. And I still battle with them, but it's just like, I constantly have to tell myself, like, hey, you're meant to do this. This is what your whole life is like, set you up to do this.
Yes.
So
sure.
I was like, here we go. Like, just enjoy the ride. Enjoy every second of it. So, and because again, like, you never know when it's going to be taken away from you or something. Like, 3 years ago, I literally thought 3 years ago, like, I was not going to get to do flowers, you know? 3 years ago, I had cancer, and, like, I literally, at one point, they were like, hey, you have a 20% chance to make it off this freaking table. And I'm like, okay, like, I can beat this. And then it went up from a 20 to a 40. And then they were just all these different scenarios. And I remember telling myself, like, okay, like, I'm meant to do flowers. Like, I can do this. I'm going to beat everything that comes in front of me. And you just one step at a time, just keep getting better. And I still to this day, like, we all have these struggles. And the thing is like, no one ever wants to say it because we're all like, ooh, it might make us look this or this. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's why I say it's really close to me right now, because I want to bring it to the forefront. I think all of us go through it and we're kind of all in the same boat, but none of us want to say it because we're like, ooh, hold on. But yeah, no, it's still there. But we have such, it's literally the greatest industry in the world because we all like band together. If like you mess with one of us, we're all like,
oh yeah.
So, and it's like, oh no, you're not going to mess with one of us. You're going to mess with all of us now. And we all kind of band together and we like, you know, I have flower shops that are literally 2-3 miles from me, 5 miles from me. And we talk and we're friends and we're not like, oh, hey, don't talk to this person because they're, they're competitors. Like, oh, you need a block of foam? Okay, yeah, come over and get it. You know, I don't know.
Together. So, got to work together.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make me cry again.
Okay.
Or even think about it. Okay.
No, but great. I mean, you know, you got to get through just one step at a time. You got to get your mind out of the gutter and just push. You got to push.
Yes. Definitely. So,
okay.
What's this next question?
Happy.
Where I get all emotional.
I'm sorry.
Happy time.
I know. Yeah. All right. So let's see. So about a year and a half ago, we were sitting in a bar and you took out your phone because it was ringing and you answered it and you got off the phone and you told me that you had bought a shop.
Yes.
Yeah. So you were in the process of buying a shop when you were at Symposium. And
I did.
So a year and a half ago, so happy belated business birthday.
Thank you. Yeah.
How does it feel? So, how's everything going? What made you decide to buy a shop?
So back to that previous thing about writing goals, I told myself within 10 years I would own a shop.
Yeah.
That was kind of the big picture I knew I kind of wanted. So I'd worked at like 2 other shops in Houston, kind of, one was an everyday shop. One was more of a sympathy driven shop. Mm-hmm. So I kind of had bounced between those two, to learn more sympathy stuff. Cause I didn't do a lot of sympathy. So I really wanted to be more well-versed. So the third shop, when I started out in Fulshear, because I worked there for 2 years before I bought it, it just made sense. I knew the clientele. They were wanting to sell, and they weren't necessarily running it correctly. And I could see all the things that needed to be done. The big picture. I could see the big picture of what needed to happen out there. So I literally talked to my wife and I said, "Hey, what is it that you do? You want to continue this, or what do you want to do?" And she goes, "What is your dream?" And I was like, "My dream is to own this shop, and I really do think that it can be very successful." And she goes, "What are you going off of?" I was like, "Well, there's 20,000 houses out there, and the average home is $400,000, and they're putting another 30,000 of those homes."
Yeah.
And she goes, "What?" And I was like, "Yeah. I think as long as I have good customer service, I can do it." And then I talked to a bunch of people and they were like, "Hey, this industry, you know, things are changing." And you always hear that, but the brick and mortars are going under and all this.
You know, there are the facts, right? There's the facts, but then there's the, could they run it differently? Could they change their business model and run it differently?
Exactly.
And that's what I think.
Yeah. So, with all that being said, this is what's going to keep it afloat. You add in flowers and then add in some kind of gift home decor stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I really think we can do it. We can push it. We can make it happen. And she goes, "Okay, let's give it a go. Let's do it." So, the second owners of the shop came to me with a number. I hit them with another number. They told me another number. I told them the same number. You know, it was back and forth until they took my number. So when I ended up buying it, I was just like, okay. And when people tell you that, oh, you get this more freedom when you own something, they're liars. They're like the biggest liars ever.
Yeah.
Because I go to bed thinking about my store. I wake up thinking about my store. And it's not, I don't dislike any minute of it. It just makes me like, what am I going to do? Like, how am I going to hit this marketing spot here? If this is the people that I want to address, how do I need to make this happen? Which I'm not naturally like a marketing person. I'm like, right. Oh, I make stuff. I don't think about the long, oh, I need this picture to kind of look like this. So it's given me something else to kind of obsess over. Like right. This new like
that other half
obsession.
Of, weren't having to
yes. Yeah. It's like, oh, I can make the pretty part of it, but like now I'm obsessing over like the photography part and the style shoots and yep. Like this crazy new thing that I've never really focused on. And now it's like, it's given me something else that I just
the hat out to put enjoy. On. Like,
oh my gosh.
Yes. You know,
it's, but I love it. Like I love sitting there. People are like, "Wait, you're working till 1 o'clock in the morning." I'm like, yeah, same. Like it's not a big deal. It's like, whatevs, but like yeah. I love it. So
that sucks for me is because I have, you know, I can work in all night and it's not a big deal because it's my coolers are in my garage, but
yeah.
That also sucks too because, you know, I make a huge mess and I still have to clean up from Saturday. It's really bad.
Oh, I was supposed to, well, I had my wife came into the store and helped me clean. I had shit everywhere. I mean, I probably have a good 50 buckets that haven't been washed yet. And I'm like, ooh, tomorrow they have to wash buckets.
Yeah.
So, but no, yeah, it's different because I kind of switched from thinking that I wanted to travel more.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm kind of traveling less, but I'm still working as much as I was more than I've ever worked before in this industry.
Well, it's tough
because, yeah, it's amazing.
Especially the first couple of years, it's, I mean, you know, once you go through a few seasons, I'm sure you'll have when to prepare and stuff like that. But you've worked through it before. It's not like anything you haven't seen. So
yeah. So, well, like I like tripled a business in a year from what they did to first year starting. And mind you, the second owners were like, "Oh, you're going to take a loss. No one can make it work here." And I was like, okay. So it was like, very like, oh, you think that I it, hold on. And so, like, I'm point, like, I crushed their numbers. Like, their Mother's Day from 2016 was, like, literally Mother's Day number, $7,000. And I was just like, oh, yeah, which is really bad. Yeah. And I was like, I'm gonna murder this number, like, 25. Yeah, and they were like, what the hell? And I'm like, it's all about how hard you want to
win. You're like, yeah. Like,
this is the way you do it. Just, you know. So, no, I like it. It's amazing. I don't know. It's, like I said, yeah, it's just something that's crazy hard to work on. And, like, it's hard to explain, but I really do like it. Which, I mean, I kind of always knew I wanted a store.
Yeah.
I love interacting with people. Talk to a fence post, you know, whatever.
That's fine.
And plus, you know what else? I wanted to take my dog to work. That's the other thing I wanted to do. Was take
Gus, right? It's Gus, right?
Oh, yes. Oh my God, he's such. He was in here early, and okay. So funny story. So these dogs behind my in like my backyard, the backyard neighbors, their dogs started barking, and Gus was in here, and as I was waiting, he starts like going ape shit and barking. I'm like, you got. Right, I've got to do an interview. Get out. And he's like barking at me. I'm like, don't make me get up. He literally is like, he's me in a dog version.
That's hilarious.
He's such a goofball. I love him though. God, I love him. So what's the next question? Let's do, I'm ready. I like these questions. Let's get
this. All right. So I think we covered like the next three questions I had. So what are you guys doing for the holidays as far as your shop? Anything cool coming?
Okay, so I guess, well, for what do I have coming up? For holidays, before holidays, here's what I have. I'm actually heading to South Dakota a week from Thursday to teach a class up there with patients, Inspired Designs, with patients up in South Dakota. And I'm there for 4 days. I get there on a Thursday and I fly out on a Monday.
Cool.
So we got that, and then come back and I have my fall Christmas open house kind of deal.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're doing like a little, the moms and all the ladies in the community come in, and I'm gonna teach them how to make like a cornucopia.
How fun.
And just taking like fresh product and silk product and kind of doing something for their table. It's usually like it'll be like the week before Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
Doing that, and then I have another one, which is a fresh wreath class, I believe, but I'm that's still up in the air for December.
Yeah, for the, I usually do that. It's really fun.
The only bad part is like fresh wreaths don't really last here because it's still like 80 degrees.
Yeah. December. See, we can leave our stuff out in the last 2 months. It's hilarious. Like, I could probably teach it at the end of November and be fine.
No, ours are like, I was laughing because my wife is like trying to wear like fall clothes, and it's 94 degrees outside today, and I'm like, mm-hmm. Why are you wearing a jacket? She's like, I want it to look fall, and I'm like, yeah. You're gonna die of a sweat. So she's
gonna,
like,
be stripping by 4 o'clock.
Yeah, she's like, whatever. And yeah. I was like, oh my God, wear that. I'm still in shorts and flip-flops. Yay, Texas for that. Right. I don't like cold weather. So,
how are things? I mean, the storm, is everybody okay? Did you guys have flooding? Yeah.
Yes. So most of Houston did flood, a lot of it, but I know for sure that we actually lost one lady from the industry.
Oh.
Worked at a little shop here in Katy, in kind of my area, 40 years in the industry. So we lost one, but other than that, which I didn't personally know her, I knew people that knew her. So yeah. It was very sad on that.
Yeah.
But everyone else, I think, made it kind of through okay. And then, you know, we had Hitomi in town, like right after that, we had Gregor in town right after that. So, oh my gosh, it was good. It was, yeah. We kind of band together, you know, it's this whole Texas mentality, like, okay, well, we're just going to band together and get everything done and start cleaning things up. I know personally, my father-in-law got 8.5 feet in his house. Yeah, so I mean, his house had to be completely gutted, and we're in the process of like starting to redo all of that. So
water, that's just unfathomable to me. Like, I can't even
oh
imagine.
My God, yeah.
I can't even imagine.
It is nuts, like, to see. So where his house was actually on CNN or ABC, one of the Dateline, whichever one that one is. His area was like one of the worst area of Houston. It's because of where they were, the water had's already flooding, and then where they were releasing the dams.
Oh, so
his house was literally 60 yards off of the off the bayou. So we had to go down there, get him out, and, you know, just, he's 73, so it was definitely one of those things that we had to really, really worry about.
Yeah, but I'm glad he's okay.
Yeah, oh yeah, he's more than okay. So he's like, I want my house back. And I'm like, I want you to have your house back, yeah. But we have to do the right thing at the right time. My wife has to handle a lot of it. So, but hey, whatevs. It's all good. Like, he's alive. I mean, yeah. There's people that have it way worse. So
I know. I'm glad everybody's okay. That's scary.
Yeah, definitely. So there's, what else? What else? I'm like trying to think what else. I know there's another question in there and I forgot.
See why I love Ace? He's just got such a wonderful outlook. And here's his links that I promised in the beginning. So Ace is on Instagram at AceBerry, AIFD, just all one word on Instagram. And his shop is called Full Sheer Floral Design and Decor. And he's on Facebook, and his website is the same. So look him up, say hi, and if you have any questions for Ace, please feel free. Thanks.
I had so much fun today talking with you. Please tune in next time. And for any show notes or links that we talked about today, please go to fromthegroundupfloral.com/podcast.